truth that I stand. I'd rather be proud on the Bible. When it comes down to pride, it's always, it carries a negative term, right? I guess you could use it in a positive way, but we usually make it about self, right? Selfish, right? So I want us to make it about the Bible and its biblical truths, and we'll find a pattern here in Scripture about Baptists. So the first letter that I'd like to share with you is the letter B, and it is for biblical authority. And so if you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Zach. The B stands for biblical authority. Basically, we believe that the Holy Bible, the Word of God, is the final authority of our faith and practice. That's where we get this biblical authority. Anything and everything that you and I do in life or think about life, decisions we make, choices we make, we should align it with the Bible. What does the Bible say? When it comes to marriage, how does God want us to do marriage? Well, what does the Bible say, right? As men, what does God expect from us, or how does he want us to behave as men? Well, what does the Bible say? So that's why it's not a cop-out, the answer, when we say, well, what does the Bible say? It's actually what we believe. As Baptists, we believe that the Bible is the biblical authority. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture, the Bible, right, the Word of God, is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine. In other words, for teaching. So this doctrine that God has given us, of course, through men of God, holy men, this Bible, the Scriptures are inspired by him, but they're inspired by him to teach us, okay? Teach us for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You have verse 17? It's okay. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good what? Works. So I just want us to understand that the Bible is inspired by God, right? Are there informations or avenues of information out there? Yes. There's worldly information, and some of it is not bad. Some of it is pretty good. Man, people are going to eat me up for that. But what I mean by that is there's some information out there from the world that can be helpful, okay? I'm not saying everything that the world offers is helpful, but there are things that are, okay? Even Paul talked about the poets in his time, okay? The reality is the Bible is trustworthy because it comes from who? From God. So there's no agenda there in the sense of man. There's no sin-filled thoughts or a narrative there for his best interest, so to speak. The Bible's trustworthy enough so we can use it for our best interest, believe it or not. So we can learn how to be not just more like God, but to have a relationship with the God and the creator of the world. And here's the thing about the Bible. It's enough. It's sufficient for teaching. It's doctrine, right? But it's enough for me to live daily, every day of my life, because I'm not perfect. It's sufficient enough for daily living, because I have thoughts that are not right. The Bible is sufficient enough for daily living, because I say things in the flesh or regret doing things, right, in my behavior. The Bible is sufficient enough for daily living. This is why it's so important that we read it every day. It's not just enough that you can memorize Scripture, and you should. But go to it every single day. That's the relationship. Let God speak to your heart. Because what you read or you had read over 1,000 times, I don't know how many, some of you have read the Bible through and through, and that's great. But here's the thing. God will show you something different. And it's a verse that you've read over and over and over again. Sometimes the same passage you've already memorized, and he shows you a nugget of truth that you need for that day. That's what I mean. That's the word of God, the biblical authority of the word of God. When we get the understanding of that, we understand Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, thy word is a what? Unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's enough. The Bible's enough for us to live every day. Even though we're inconsistent, the word of God is consistent. Even though we're unfaithful, the word of God is faithful. So I want you to understand that Baptist churches or members of the Baptist church, we don't believe scripture just out of tradition. You follow me? It's not for tradition purposes that we believe biblical authority. We believe it because it's in the Bible, amen? We don't believe it because of culture. It's popular or it's trending. We believe it because it is our final authority. And if you find yourself confused, God, what should I do next, right? This is why it's good to pray. God, you know, you're speaking to God, and God's going to give you an answer through his word. That's why I'll never tell you have to be a pastor, a student, a theologian, or a Bible college student to understand the Bible. That's why I'll never tell you that you have to study the Greek to understand the Bible. God's not limited to our limitations. He can use a passage in Isaiah with your modern day situation. See, the Bible is always relevant. I would never have the audacity to tell you, you're taking it out of context. Well, some of us do that only on selfish purposes for our agenda. But if you need help from God, if you're lost and you're confused, man, take John 14:6. You could apply that anyway. I know he was talking to the disciples, and I know what he was talking about, salvation. But man, that applies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're ever confused, my friend, if you feel like you're dying, you're suffocating in problems and situations, that's why the Bible is so important. Because if you truly believe that is the biblical authority, that first B equals biblical authority, then you understand what a Baptist is. We believe in the Bible as the authority. Right? The final authority of our faith and practice. If you're still with me, say amen. See, we live in a world that changes opinions, man, daily, right? So how can we be consistent if a culture changes, not just daily, nowadays, because we have information bias and we have information at the tip of our fingertips, right? It changes what? Seconds? Minutes? Well, we have to anchor our lives not on man's opinion, but on the truths, the everlasting truths of God, right? God never changes. He's the same. Amen. So if there's a problem, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but it's not new. It's happened before. And he's given us these time-tested truths to deal with those same problems that have happened since the beginning of time and help us realize, yeah, it might be new to you because as an experience, it's a new revelation to you, but it doesn't mean it's a new revelation. Follow me? Because he never changes. And that truth that helped that young man Joseph when he was in the darkest pit in his life, or that man Paul, amen, that thought he was doing right, but he was just a religious zealot, could help you and I, because the truth never changes. That's why it's relevant. That's why, because it's made by God, it's inspired by God. So I want us to understand that the B equals biblical authority in the word Baptist. The next letter is A, and that equals the autonomy of the local church. In other words, we believe that every local church or New Testament church, what we call it, governs itself under the authority of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Do we have Colossians or do I have Acts? I have Acts too, but do you have Colossians? Okay. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Do you have all the verses for this? Okay. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily what? Ministration. I know this is going to lead to something else, but I want us to understand the church was growing, and these were new believers. And yes, some were Hebrews, so they came from what religion? Judaism, right? Where they believe in circumcision and traditions that passed on from Moses, okay? And the law. Then you have the Greeks. What do they believe in? Greek mythology, right? Mythology, right? Where we're trying to dumb down God. We're trying to bring God to man, right? They believe in humanism, like we're going to understand everything. No, you don't have to understand everything. That's why he's God. Amen? He's divine. Okay, so we have two different groups, okay? Now, next verse. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So here are the people. They're murmuring because they believe that they know what's best. They believe that they have a handle on things. They see things going undone, like the widows and the orphans need help. But they think, hey, let me tell these men who are preaching the word of God to us, which they need to do more work. They need to help out with the work. And can I tell you, what did Jesus mention to Mary and what was it, Martha? When one was serving and the other one was close to his feet, listening to his word, did he say, hey, you need to stay busy? Is that what's really important in life? Anybody can work. I promise you, anybody can work. And it's easy to be successful. I'm going to tell you that. Because a lot of people are too lazy. You're going to find that out. So that's not the problem. But that work is not going to help you in your spiritual life. Now, having work ethic is good. I'm not saying it's not. It's a good characteristic to have. Good characteristic. God blesses work. But you know what God's really going to bless? You, if you get to understand him. He'll help you with your marriage. Why? Because you're inconsistent. He'll help you in your family. Why? Because we're inconsistent. He'll help you with relationships. Why? Because we're inconsistent. And here's the neat thing. These disciples are telling them, look, it's more important for us to help your spiritual stature or your spiritual status, your condition, than for us to wipe tables. That's not going to be good for you. Yes, can we vacuum? Can we clean? Can we cut the grass? Amen. I need to cut the grass. But can we do all these things? And it does bother me, by the way. It does bother me. But here's the thing. It is more important that we get into the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of God and give you the message of God in your life. Because here's the truth of the matter that we don't like to accept. As people, we always think we know the right answer. And guess what? When we go home, you don't know the right answer. Life happens. Amen? Public life, private life. We don't have to lie about that. You can't find that in the Bible. My friend, I don't know what to tell you. Amen? But it's there. You know how we discover that? Having a relationship with God. He is a triune God. He doesn't wear three masks. He's three persons with one divine nature. What is it? God. What is God? The attributes, all-knowing, omniscient. This is what we got to get into the Bible and understand. It all connects. It really does connect. And my friend, it's so important that we as Christians understand what is the important thing of church. Yes, it is to serve. Yes, it is to tell others about Christ. Yes, it is. But at the end of the day, it comes down to an individual. Do you have that walk with God? Are you right with God? So what if you know how to memorize verses? So what if you can preach? So what if you can move some chairs? Are you right with God? Amen. That's the power. It's in that relationship. It's in the unseen. It's in that secret life. That it comes out in public. Let's continue. Wherefore, brethren, speaking to those that are Christians, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, you notice he didn't say, look at men of crafts that have a specialty in crafts, right? Look at the masters of carpentry. Is that what he's talking about? No. What is he talking about? Spirituality. What we're missing nowadays, right? Why? Because we're on our phones all the time. Amen? Let's continue. But we will give ourselves continually to what? The important stuff. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Continue. And they saying, please the whole, and that saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Chorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenius and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. Man, praise the Lord for those names. Continue. Whom they sent before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Next. That was it? Okay, that was it. Okay. Oh, you have it? Okay. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? The what? Preeminence. The preeminence. What does that mean? Church, we're led by Jesus. We're not led by man. We're not led by a group, a council. We're not led by a denomination. We're led by Christ, because he is the head of the church. That is what the local church is about. We don't answer to anyone in the sense of what we could do as a church. Now, I know with that comes danger, right? Because if you have the wrong man or leader, or who should be an under-shepherd, thinking they're the shepherd, guess where they can go wrong? Right there. But here's the thing. When you and I understand that there's no pope, when you and I understand that there's no bishop, there's no hierarchy of rules over the local congregation, then you understand, what are you? You're the body of who? You understand that. Then you understand, guess what? The pastor is part of the what? Body, not part of the head. I'm not the vicar. I'm not the one that stands before the Lord. I understand the position, okay? I understand the office. It has double honor. But the man is just like you. And you should be glad for that. You should be glad that we all together worship who? Jesus. And if one of us are out of line, guess what? We're going to know if we're worshiping Jesus the right way, that one of us is out of line. One of us is not doing it right. Correct. I want you to understand that each church has the responsibility to make biblical decisions concerning leadership, ministry, missions, everything to finances, to building funds, things of that nature. Look at it this way, right? A family. Who's supposed to be the head of the family? The husband, right? Or the father. Okay. But that family doesn't work, or the father doesn't work by himself. He needs a what? A helpmeet. He needs a wife. He needs a mother. Right? And the father and the mother don't work by themselves either. As a family, they're what? Children. That's what makes a home. That's the function of a home, okay? That's what we are here, a family. And we're supposed to function together as a body of what? Believers, right? And he is the what? Okay, guess who should be the head of the home? Yes, I get it, the father. But that home, that family should be centered around who? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the key. The same way with the church. The same way with marriage. The same way with every type of relationship or family unit. Jesus should be recognized as the head. Amen? The next letter is P for priesthood of believers. Priesthood of believers. Baptists, right? So, 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal what? Not only are we a body of Christ, but what are we? What are we? Priesthood. What does that mean? You don't have to come and confess your sins to me. What does that mean? You have access to who? Direct access to who? Jesus. Because Jesus is the high priest, right? He's the mediator. So now I can talk to God because I'm saved. You can talk to who? God. Jesus is the mediator. You're a high priest. And a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness unto the marvelous light. Every saved believer has access to God through Jesus. We don't need to approach a human. You don't need to come to the pastor. Okay? You don't need to come to a priest and confess your sins. Or you don't need to come to a pastor and feel like you're closer to God so you can approach God. You know what that's called? Superstition. You know what that's called? Religion. Are y'all okay here? I mean, yeah, we're good. Is it hot in here? No, I see some faces melting. What's going on? Okay. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Jesus Christ is our, yeah, I'm getting hot, I guess. Great high priest. Here's the neat thing about that, Daniel. You can pray to God. I know. This should change your life, but you can pray to God, directly to God. You can read the Bible, and God can actually speak to you. God can. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, but God can speak to you. That's the access we have. The world doesn't have it because we're believers. Believers, here's the perk that we have. We can boldly come to the throne of God. But you know how we treat it? Because we live in this world. We do him dirty, man. We don't go to God with reverence. We just pray to God, and it's whatever. It's like a prayer. We make it religious. Instead of saying, God, forgive me for what I am. Forgive me for who I am. Instead of treating him with reverence and respect, we treat him like he's our neighbor or a buddy from childhood. And that's not God. And if there's a reason why God hasn't spoken to you, maybe you should start speaking to God. But you have direct access, and stop treating him like an idol, treating him like your father. There's a difference. I want us to understand that a child doesn't need permission from a servant to speak to their father. You notice that? A child can just speak to their father. Well, because of Christ, we can do the same. I don't have to get permission. Yeah, no, I'm no longer in the hood, but I'm no longer lost either. I know my father. I know Abba. I know Jehovah. You should too. But you know what? We let the circumstances of life strain that relationship for some reason. Or our relationships that we're in make us forget who God is. As if God doesn't have power. As if God doesn't understand our situations. The priesthood of the believer is very important in the Baptist. In case you haven't realized, but it is. It's very important in our walk with God, in our daily living. Talk to him. You're a priest. Amen? Here's a T in Baptist, two ordinances. It represents two ordinances. We observe two ordinances given by Christ. The first one is the what? It's not Dunkin' Donuts. The baptism, amen? The believer's baptism. Do you have Romans 6:4? Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the what? Newness of life. This is why we get baptized, so we can walk in the newness of life. Does anyone have any questions about this? Okay. Does anyone in here believe that baptism saves you? That's not why we're Baptists. Some people treat it that way, though. That's not the biggest event that took place. The biggest event that took place is salvation. You're saved. Amen. That's the biggest event that took place. Amen. Your soul is saved. Amen. From condemnation. That's the biggest event. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. We get that. Why did he die on the cross? Just for us, right? Because we're lost. Baptism follows salvation. And so it's performed by immersion, okay? This is an ordinance that God gave. It pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, again, does not save a person. What it does, it just publicly identifies them with Jesus. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. That's all that means. The second ordinance is the Lord's Supper. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. For if I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Next. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of what? Me. Next. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in the remembrance of me. Next. For as what? Does it say every year? Does it say every month? Does it say once a year? Often. As ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's a representation, amen, again, of the work that he did on the cross. Shed his blood, and his body was broken for us. But let me ask you this. How many of you can honestly say, oh, I know this, and I have the verses to back it up? Did you know the verses? Because that's the key. It's not your brain or your memory. That's not what it's about. It's about the Word of God. Because a lot of people, when they listen to this, right, Baptist distinctives, when they listen to it, they're going to want to know, well, where did it come from? It could either be your opinion, or it could be that it came from the Word of God. I'd rather listen to somebody that knows the Word of God and is talking about it instead of all the knowledge that you know. You follow me? I don't know you from Adam, maybe. You might be a stranger, and you're talking to me about these things. I want to know where you get that from, right? So it's important that we get these verses. The bread and the cup are symbolic reminders of Christ's body and his blood. Let me ask you, does a wedding ring create a marriage? No? Anybody can wear a wedding ring, right? Yeah, anybody can. But you know what? A wedding ring symbolizes a commitment. Not anybody can make that commitment, right? Not anybody can make that commitment. There are many people that it said they would do that commitment, they would vow that vow in front of God and people, but guess what? They don't do it. A wedding ring does not create a marriage. It symbolizes one. Just like baptism, the Lord's Supper, they symbolize spiritual truths that have already been established by faith. Okay? Here's the next letter, I, individual soul liberty. That means that every individual is personally responsible before God. Every individual is responsible before God. I cannot blame my dad or my past or my circumstances. When I'm in front of God, I'm going to be judged for my works. I cannot blame my dad or my mom or my city if whether I'm saved or not. That is my responsibility personally as a person. As a pastor and the things I do, I cannot blame the church. I cannot blame my wife or my children for the things I do. We believe, as Baptists, in individual soul liberty. Faith cannot be forced by parents. It cannot be forced by governments or churches. Every person must personally respond to Christ. Romans 14:12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of what? Of what? Himself to who? None of you could ever say, well, it was his dad's fault. It doesn't work that way. Well, it was the sound man's fault. Amen? Sorry, Brother Zach. It was his wife. Nobody can say that. The buck stops here because the Bible tells me, Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to who? Can I speak for my wife whenever when she's in front of God and being judged for her works? Can I say, oh, it's not her fault? She was born in Alabama. Can I? No. I can't say that. I can't. Whatever she does, that's her responsibility. Whatever I do, that's my responsibility. Whatever my kids do, that's their responsibility. And what we as Baptists believe, again, faith cannot be forced by parents, but no one can believe for you. Each person must choose whether to trust Christ or not. The S stands for saved church membership. Some would say it's for soul winning. But look at it this way. Acts 2:41. I'm giving you scripture here. Then they that gladly what? Received his word, in other words, they were saved, were what? Baptized that same day. There were added unto who? Them. This is the body of believers. What are a body of believers called? It's called a what? Church. About 3,000 souls. The church should consist of saved believers. What do you mean? We believed in saved church membership. You can't just be a part of the body of Christ if you're not saved. Follow me? You must be saved. Membership in the New Testament in the church is for those who trusted Christ as their Savior. If we just let anyone in here, then it would be a social club. That's what it would become. It would become a social club, but this is a body of believers that are united under who? Christ, who's the head of the church, right? All right, so T stands for two offices. Who can tell me the offices? Pastor and deacon. That's in the Bible, okay? Now, the pastor could be an elder. It could be a bishop. You know, back in the days, they called them different things, okay? A prophet. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, let me put a disclaimer. A prophet did, obviously, distinctive things, right? They were distinguished as a prophet for a reason, a bishop and an elder. When it comes to the office of a pastor, though, that is what we're talking about. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Can you go to Titus? Do you have it? Titus? For this cause left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Next. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. So, a pastor provides the leadership through the preaching, through the teaching of the word of God. And shepherding would be like serving. Is that servant leadership? And it's not a cop-out, but it is guiding the church, guiding the flock for the best interest of the ministry. What it is not, okay? The office of a pastor is not, the church leadership is not about power. The deacons is not about power, but it's about, again, serving you. And because of the Bible, it's my biblical responsibility to do so. I'm tied to this. The deacons, They're tied to this, the Word of God, which is the biblical authority, right? The Baptist distinctives are not built upon tradition, okay? That's not why we're Baptist. But it's convictions from the Scripture or roots of the Scripture. We're not here. We're not saved because we're Baptist. Amen? I'm Baptist because I'm saved. You follow me? That's the closest thing that I know. And we proclaim salvation, grace through faith, and we maintain these biblical church practices. So, Pastor, what is the whole point of this? This is to honor Jesus Christ with our church. That's what it is. So here's questions you might ask. Why is it important that the Bible remains our final authority instead of our culture or personal opinion? Because everything else changes. The Bible doesn't. Amen. But, I mean, you can answer it your way. How does understanding the priesthood of the believer strengthen your personal relationship with God? You understand the importance of it. Well, which Baptist distinctive stands out most to you personally and why? For me, all of them do. Especially that we believe that individual soul liberty, but the priesthood really stands out to me because, again, my experience is I didn't have a father, but now that was a big transformation in my life, knowing that I had access to God, and I didn't have to go to the pastor or my mom or the Sunday school teacher and create that relationship. So, folks, tonight I was just trying to do a Bible study on the Bible, on the Baptist distinctives, just to help us understand. I know some of you have heard it. How many of you, it's your first time hearing this? All right, two? Okay, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Everybody else, you've heard it before? Amen. Let's just keep practicing it, right? Let's keep practicing it. And I hope this helped, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word.